Hello everyone, welcome. Today is May the 22nd, and this is our Whole Life Healing Program with Dr. Alex Floyd. My name is Johanna Chan. I'll be assisting in this call today in the second portion. Before we hear from Alex in a replay, and I'll explain why we're doing a replay for you, I'm going to share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only. And since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Dr. Alex Floyd or myself, Johanna Chan. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. And we also like to open up each program with this following quote. We are beginning now to understand things that we know in our hearts are true but could never measure. As we get a better understanding how little we know about the body, we begin to realize the next big frontier in medicine is energy medicine. It's not the mechanistic parts of the joints moving. It's not the chemistry of our body. It's understanding for the first time how energy influences how we feel. And that was a quote by Dr. Oz back in November 2007. And the reason we bring it up is that the purpose of these calls is to provide a current and relevant information on this subject of energy medicine from a variety of perspectives, including a medical, a scientific, and mostly spiritual perspective. All right, so having said that, I wanted to explain a little bit that we are going to be playing a replay today from 2014. And it's called False versus True Forgiveness. The reason we're doing it, and you will hear this story from Alex next week, is that Alex unfortunately had an accident at home, and he broke two of his ribs, and he's having a difficult time. It's very painful to breathe deep, and so he's he asked if we could do a replay today for him, and he will explain the story next week when he comes back on. You do want to come in. It's a little bit comical, he calls it, of how it happened. But he's sure he's going to be okay for next week's call. He'll be able to breathe a bit better. But do think about him with positive thoughts. Pray for him as he is recovering. All right, so I'm going to play an audio, and like I said, it's False versus True Forgiveness. So hold on one moment.
But it's wonderful to be here. We are honored by your presence, and we thank you so much for being here. We love you. I pray for you every day, even though I don't know all of you by name. I know some of you. Today's spiritual law, if there is a more important one, I'm not real sure offhand what it would be. There would probably be 5 or 10 that I might put in the same level of importance as this one. But this one is absolutely critical to every person I've ever known, and it's been one of the biggest issues of my life, one of the biggest issues of Hope's life, one of the biggest issues in our marriage. You know, just kind of fill in the blank there. This one is huge for all of us. And in a lot of ways, we're all in the same boat on this one. True versus false forgiveness. And by the way, this one was requested. We're doing this one this week. It was actually requested, some teaching on this area. And you can do that. If you have a request, send it in. And there's probably a spiritual law that I've got somewhere in my file drawer that pertains to that. Although we've never repeated one in 7 years, there's still a number of them that we've never done yet. Okay, where do we start? Well, on this issue of false versus real forgiveness, I'd like to start with What is unforgiveness? What is that? And why is that such a big deal? Because if forgiveness is one of the biggest issues of our lives, maybe the biggest issue, then that means unforgiveness has to be a pretty big deal, right? Well, it was absolutely the biggest deal to me growing up in a religious environment, a pretty strict religious environment. This is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right. And the connotation with that was, if you do something bad, you are bad. Okay? And bad meant something wrong, something sinful, something that you shouldn't do, something against the law, something whatever, okay? So one of the first things that you have to realize is this thing of forgiveness and unforgiveness is law-based, okay? It is law-based, at least the way that most people think of it and deal with it. In fact, it is usually natural law-based, physical laws of nature, not spiritual laws of nature, physical laws of nature-based, okay? And what does that mean? It means cause-effect. It means the law of attraction, which is also called the law of likes. You do fear, you get fear. You do love, you do love. You do something good for somebody, somebody's going to do something good for you, etc. And reap what you sow is another big one, all right? You do good, you get back good. You do bad, you get back bad. And the underlying connotation here is you do good, you are good. You do bad, you are bad. Okay, and that's where the rub comes, right there. Because I was one of those kids growing up who messed up all the time. If I had been born today or in the last 10 or 20 years, I would have been diagnosed with all kinds of learning disabilities, with ADHD, with ADD, probably some other Ds that they would make up just for me, okay? Because that was me. Every single year in school, my parents were chewing their fingernails whether I would pass that grade or not. I failed kindergarten, okay? I've never met anyone yet to date who failed kindergarten in my 50-plus years. I failed kindergarten. I also failed third grade, and there were probably another 6 or 8 years that I failed, but they passed me along just so I wouldn't be embarrassed, or because they didn't think I would do any better doing it the same thing another year, because they were tired of having to deal with me and pass me on to the next group of teachers and were so glad that I was out of their class now, you know, that sort of thing. And that even carried over to college. Now, in college, I had learned some, I guess, academic abilities that allowed me to pass a little bit easier than I had before, but that's all they were. I wasn't any smarter than I'd ever been or dumber. I just learned some techniques that helped me deal with linear academic learning a little bit better, okay? And then when I went to graduate school, I made virtually straight A's. It was much less the academic type stuff and much more things I was interested in, psychology, natural medicine, things that I really was interested in and liked. Still had some trouble with some of the academics, but it was a different ball game by then, okay? So I grew up with an older I've told you guys this before. I had an older brother who was better looking than me, a better athlete than me. I don't think he ever had a pimple on his face. He had a slim, trim build. Never did anything wrong that I know of. Now, if I ask him today, as I've done, did you ever do anything wrong? He would laugh and say, well, he calls me Al. He would say, well, Al, of course I did. But when I ask him for specifics, okay, did you ever do this? Well, no. Did you ever do that? Well, no. Did you ever do this? You know, all stuff I had done, it was no, 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 okay? So in a group of two growing up, I was last, and I was way last. So when it got, and I, you know, did terrible in school. I was short and fat with a pepperoni face until I got to high school, so I was made fun of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I did wrong, bad stuff in my beliefs, my thinking, and my upbringing all the time. So I grew up feeling, thinking, and believing I am bad. I don't measure up. I am flawed. I am unforgiven. I am okay. So being unforgiven means there's something negative against me that has not been made right. Okay, if I'm unforgiven by the United States federal government, it can mean a lot of things. It's going to mean somewhere between them giving me a slap on the hand warning, Alex, don't you ever do that again, to a fine, Alex, you did this wrong, so to pay for this, we want to check for X amount of dollars, to we are putting you behind bars for the wrong thing that you have done, okay, that's not been made right. So with the government, that's kind of how those things look like. If I am unforgiven and they know about the thing that I am unforgiven about, one of those things, somewhere on the continuum from a warning to being put in jail, but the connotation of all of them is you have done bad, you have done wrong, and you have to pay for it and don't do it again. Okay. So forgiveness and unforgiveness inherently involves law, meaning what is what right and what is wrong. You can't do wrong if there is no wrong, all right? And judgment, which means that there's somebody looking at the law of what's right and what's wrong who determines if you indeed have done wrong, and if you have, how bad a wrong was it, and what should be the penalty or punishment for that. Okay, and every bit of that is natural physical law based. Okay, if you want to go back to Newton's three laws, a body in motion remains in motion until something acts on it with enough force to change it, and then when that happens, there's an exact equal opposite reaction for every action. And in the spiritual literature, it's called karma, it's called cause-effect, it's called the law of attraction, and probably a few other things. And it's how everything in the physical universe works. The problem comes, I think, in the fact that if we are indeed not primarily physical beings, but spiritual beings, then we may have a problem here, Houston. Houston, you know the old NASA thing. Houston, we have a problem. Because if we are a spiritual being living by natural physical laws, then it makes sense to me that that could cause some problems. Because if we're a spiritual being, then are there not spiritual laws? Are there not spiritual guidelines? Are there not spiritual ways to evaluate the right decision from the wrong decision, or what is the best decision for any particular situation? Well, I believe that's exactly the case. I believe the issue of forgiveness, true forgiveness versus false forgiveness, is actually a conflict between trying to live in and reconcile your life or a situation or a person by natural physical cause-effect law versus spiritual law, if you will, which spiritual means supernatural, which means if it's not natural, then it may not be cause-effect. It may be all bets are off for this one. See, cause-effect is much cleaner. The speed limit is 30 and you went 40. Cause-effect. You ate a whole pound of Snickers. Now you got a stomach ache. Cause-effect. You just... you lied on your taxes. Cause effect. But if the spiritual exists, if there is a spiritual reality, which means that there are spiritual forces, which means that I'm maybe primarily, not just also, not just included, but maybe even I'm primarily a spiritual being, are there different principles that apply? And I believe there are. I think one of the best things that AA has done over the years, and I see a lot of good coming out of that organization and have for a long time, but one of the things they have done absolutely the best to me is this area of non-judgment. It's the reason why person after person after person can go stand up at that podium in an AA meeting and tell their story and admit their wrongs, the places that they've messed up and are still messing up. Because what they're expecting, because they've observed other AA meetings, is that they're not going to be met with judgment based on natural law, but they're going to be based on forgiveness and what I would call grace, more from spiritual law. And they're going to have people, after they get up and say that, come up and hug them and shake their hands and put their arms around them and say, man, I've been exactly where you are, and if there's any way I can help, et cetera. And I believe that's the reason that that organization has been so successful. Judgment is tied directly to our sense of significance and security in me. So when I go about to judge you and decide whether you are to be forgiven or not by me, the filter that I'm running that through is my own significance and security, which has nothing to do with you. And if I don't realize that, then the chances are pretty high that I'm going to make the wrong decision, that I'm going to choose to not be forgiving when I should be. There's a couple of principles that I want to throw in here that need to be considered, and then I'll try to wrap this up and give you something that you can work on this week. The first one is, I think you have to separate the event from the person. Those are two different things. John stole a candy bar. And that's one of the biggest sin things I can remember from my life. When I was a little kid and I stole a candy bar from the Five and Dime, and I thought I was going to absolutely fall over dead before I ever got out of the building with that candy bar in my pocket. I was so in guilt about it, okay? But today I believe that those are two different issues. What I did is not who I was as that 8-year-old boy that stole the candy bar. In other words, that 8-year-old boy was not a thief. That was not his identity, even though he did steal a candy bar. That the event and the person are two different things, and you have to separate them or you can never forgive. Okay? Forgiveness, if we're doing it under law, natural law, cause effect, law of attraction, reap what you sow, Newton's laws, if that's the basis of forgiveness, then it means that the person has to be punished, or the wrong has to be made right. Okay? In the spiritual realm, I don't believe that's necessarily so. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, you know, you say, you know what? I think I need to go give the candy bar back if I hadn't already eaten it, or pay for it. But it's not like I can't be a good person again unless I'm punished or something of that nature. So you have to separate the person from the event. The event may not ever be forgivable. Okay? I don't believe rape is ever forgivable. Murder, too, probably never forgivable. You know, we could debate about war and things like that. It's like a splinter that's in you, but it's not you. Okay? And so if I'm going to live my life spiritually, I forgive you of all your splinters. If I want to be forgiven of my splinters, I have to forgive you of your splinters. If the law works for me, the spiritual law, then the law works for you. And I have to acknowledge that. Okay? So you separate the person from the event, and you consider the event like a splinter. You have to untie the ropes. The literal meaning of forgiveness means to untie the ropes, untie the bonds. When I first discovered that, I thought it meant that the bonds were like handcuffs that had the guilty person in chains. But that's not what it means. It means that I have the guilty person, at least guilty in my thinking, chained to me, so that everywhere I go, I take them with me. And I realize, and as I talk about this around the world, other people tell me the same thing, man, that is the last thing I would ever want, is to take this person everywhere I go. I don't like them. I want to get rid of them. I want to stay away from them. Well, your very act of unforgiveness is guaranteeing that no matter where they go or what they do, you are going to be tied to them, and there's going to be an invisible umbilical cord from you to them, where there's a constant transfer of information that immediately affects the physiology of both of you, in this case, being stressful. Okay? So you've got to untie the bonds. You have to give up the end result. And in this case, the end result is punishment or having to have something made right. Oh, boy, this is a big one. When people do something that hurts us, physically or non-physically, it's very difficult for us, if we're living by natural law, to ever move on from that, to ever forgive them for that, unless they do something to make it right, to alter the end result. Okay? Now, that may be going to jail. That may be writing a check. It may simply be saying, I'm sorry. Okay? It depends on the person and it depends on the issue. To truly forgive, you have to give up the end result. No matter what the splinter is, no matter what the crime was, no matter what the offense was, you have to give up the end result. Why? Because the end result is fear-based, and love is always process-based. Now, this is where we're kind of getting down to brass tacks. By our focus on end results, we want punishment. We want it to be made right. We want what we lost to be restored. We want what we never got to be given to us finally. Okay? We have to realize or start realizing that that is an end result expectation, and as long as we hold that, we are putting ourselves into chronic stress, which dumbs us down, makes us sick, drains our energy, causes us to come at whatever we're doing in life from a negative perspective, and causes us to fail. You see, the laws of nature work almost exactly like our immune system. If our immune system has a virus or bacteria come into our body, if it's working correctly, it will kill it and not let it harm us severely. The second thing it does is it catalogs that virus or bacteria so that if we're ever exposed to that virus or bacteria again, it can't really hurt us at all. It'll come into us, and the immune system will say, aha, I remember you, and I've got the antidote for you waiting. All right? Well, if we live in relationships by the physical laws of nature, we will work like our immune system with unforgiveness, guilt, and judgment. And when we have something happen to us, we will be unforgiving unless the end result is made right, which may never happen, which means we're living in constant stress and we're tying ourselves to that person. When what we need to do is say, you know what, I'm giving up the end result to God. My focus is on the process. Process means love, and love means me doing something, not them doing something. You see, the spiritual laws that are written on our heart are the laws of love. The most famous ancient manuscripts written about love thousands of years ago, quoted all the time at funerals, at weddings, everywhere, say a couple of things about love. They say, love makes no accounting of wrong. Think about that. Love makes no, doesn't say one time in 100, Love makes no accounting of wrong. So if you're coming from a place of love, which is spiritual law, not natural physical law, when someone does something wrong against you, or if you do something wrong yourself, the attitude is, that one doesn't count. Erase it. Now, the only exception to that is if you do something yourself, it doesn't count spiritually, but if you need to make something right, go make it right, which is also the process of love in the present moment. You know what? I don't feel guilt about that, but I'm going to go make that right with Sally. I'm going to say I'm sorry, because that's what love does. Not out of guilt, not to make the end result a certain thing, but because I'm living in the present moment in love, I'm living by spiritual law, not natural physical law, and in the present moment in love, I need to give Sally her $50 back, or I need to say I'm sorry, or I need to see if I can help her clean up the mess that I've been part of making. Another one that in the ancient manuscripts, love suffers all things. You see, natural law is born out of our most basic hardwired programming, which is to seek pleasure and avoid pain. That's what natural law is born out of. The laws on the books, the laws of the government, the laws of the state, the local laws, the laws in the family, the great, great, great majority of laws, natural laws in the world, cause-effect laws, come out of seeking pleasure and avoid pain. Don't murder, because when somebody murders, it's really painful to others and maybe to you, because if it's okay for them to murder, then it's okay for them to murder, and they might murder you or someone that you care about. So we make a law that says don't murder. Don't steal, same reason. If it's okay for you to steal and get something that you didn't have to work for, that you want, that you think might be pleasurable to you, then it's okay for them to steal your thing too. Well, wait a minute, that gets really problematic. So let's say no stealing. Okay? You see how that works. It's end result focused. But love says, you know what? I'm willing to go through whatever pain comes. And no matter what comes, I'm not going to shift over to natural law, end result focused, and want it to be made right for me. I'm going to continue to try as best I can to be focused in the present moment in love in what I do, think, feel, believe, etc., not focused on other people and what they're doing wrong or not measuring up. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to love. And then the last one I'm going to talk about today from the ancient manuscripts, love never fails. Well, this thing that either others aren't forgiving me for, or I'm not forgiving myself, or I'm not forgiving someone else, how's that going in my life? Is that being real successful? Is that bringing me health and happiness and finances and achievements and contributing to me having a fabulous day? No! No way, man! Unforgiveness bums everybody out. If I don't forgive you, it ruins my day. If you know I don't forgive you, it may ruin your day. And not only that, if you and I don't forgive each other, there's a real good chance it's going to ruin my wife's day, my children's day. It's going to pull down my job. It's going to stress me and make me start having health issues? No way, man. Unforgiveness equals failure. Physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally. Huge stress. So true forgiveness does not judge, because if I judge your splinters, then this other guy has the right to judge my splinters. True love is not physical law of nature rooted. Cause effect, law of attraction, karma, reap what you sow, seek pleasure, avoid pain. Love says, I'm ready and willing to suffer all things. But I'm going to stay in the present moment in love no matter what. And love does not count any wrongs, including ones that I do. Doesn't count. Oh, there's a good thing. That counts. Write that one down. Put that up on the bulletin board. There's another bad one. No, that doesn't count. Get rid of that. Never happened. Of course, this is only possible, what I'm saying today, if there is a spiritual reality, which means there is a supernatural dimension, not just a natural dimension, which means grace is real and does exist, which means love is real and love exists. Because if none of that is true, then the only reasonable, rational way to live, if all there is the physical, is in fear. Because that's what the physical is for, is to keep me physically alive and ahead of the next physical cause-effect, law of nature problem that may come up in my life. So, in one way, that's the decision you have today, even more than forgiveness or unforgiveness. Is there a spiritual reality or is there not? Because I would say if there's not, then you might as well not forgive. Now, yeah, you've still got the physiological effects of not forgiving, but you know what? That's proof to me that the spiritual does exist. If we live by the physical, it kills us. If we live by the physical laws of nature and unforgiveness and judgment and all that stuff that go along with stimulus response and cause effect, it kills us physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And everyone inherently knows that it's all about love. Well, there is no love without grace. There is no grace without a spiritual reality. There is no spiritual reality unless the supernatural, I say God, exists. And finally, the way you know in my book whether you've really forgiven someone or not is if you can honestly, truly say, think, and feel, I 100% accept that person as a person. And that person falls under, in my life, making no accounting of wrongs, suffering all things, and never failing. I never want this relationship with this person to be a failed relationship. I want it to be a successful relationship, even if we don't live together anymore, because they keep beating me up. So I'm not going to live with you, but I'm going to keep loving you, no matter what. I'm all in, nothing held back, no plan B, no safety net for the long haul, no matter what. So those are some things to think about in this area of true forgiveness versus false forgiveness. False forgiveness is, I'm going to keep living by natural law. And I'm going to say that I forgive you because I don't want to be all stressed out about it and it hurt me and put me into fight or flight and all that. So I'm going to say I forgive you, but I really don't. I'm really counting those wrongs. I'm really not willing to suffer anymore for you. And this is a failed relationship for me. It's certainly not successful. And some people try, I know, with every ounce in them to truly forgive, and they just can't. That's because they are living their life by the physical laws of nature, Newton's third law, law of attraction, cause effect, karma. And when you're living by the laws of nature, it's very difficult to do the spiritual law thing, which is to give up the end result and not count it, be willing to suffer, not be willing for that relationship to fail, etc. Okay? So, sorry I went over today. This is, we will probably never talk about any more important issue, and I know I've rambled all over the place today. Sorry about that. But if you do not truly forgive from the heart and say, I completely, 100% accept that person, and they fall under in my life making no accounting of wrongs, I'm willing to suffer for them without complaining or being angry at them, and I will never, as far as I'm concerned, let this relationship with this person be a failure, and I separate them from their action and behavior. They are not the thing they did that hurt me. Those are two separate things, and I'm going to live by the spiritual laws of love in the present moment, not the physical laws of nature that are end result oriented. So this week, man, maybe listen to this recording and just kind of take stock. Am I living by the spiritual or by the physical? And if I'm having trouble forgiving, it's probably because you're living by the physical, not the spiritual. Which means you're living by end results, not present moment in love.
All right. Wow, that was a great call. I do encourage everyone to listen to it again. Hopefully it's going to be posted on the Podbean podcast. All right, we're going to, I want to remind everyone, too, to be thinking about Alex and send him some good prayers for healing quickly, and next week he'll probably tell you the comical story about what happened. Okay, so we're going to open the lines. We have a few minutes here for those of you who would like to have either a custom trilogy process or a custom code. This is not a time for Q&A. We do have wonderful coaches who can answer any questions you have regarding any of the programs, and that's on Thursdays. So feel free to go there and ask your questions, and they'll be really happy to answer them for you. This time is for those of you who know how to do trilogy. You know all the 3-minute processes. And so I will test and get you a custom trilogy process. Or if you want a custom code, you do know the hand positions. If you know healing codes 1 and 2, let me know that, and we'll incorporate those both into your code. It's also the main thing I need to know from you is how you feel about this thing that you want to address. What is the negative feeling and or belief? That's all I need to be able to test for a code for you. We don't need the story, and we know everyone has a story. That's for sure. I do, you do, everyone has a story behind the issue that's bothering you. But for the sake of creating a custom code to address it or a custom trilogy, I don't really need to know anything other than just how you're feeling about it or what your beliefs are you're experiencing. So if you can do that for me, that will give us more time to connect with more than a couple people here. So your hand's up. You press star 2 to raise your hand if you're on the phone, and I will unmute your line, and we'll be able to get you a custom code. So our first hand is a web call. I'm going to unmute your line.
Hi.
Okay, your line is unmuting. Hi, who's this?
This is Aya.
I'm sorry, what was that?
This is Aya.
August?
No, August.
Okay, it's just you're breaking up a little bit. I didn't quite get your name real clear.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's R-S.
Okay, I just know it's A. The beginning
yes.
is A, but that's
R.
Okay.
So,
okay, God bless you.
God bless you, too. I would request a custom code or a trilogy. Since I'm doing the trilogy already.
Okay, and what would you like to address?
The issues that I've been having, heartburn, pain, and fear, anxiety, flat winds, all these issues for a long time.
Okay, I'm so sorry because you're breaking up a bit, but I got one thing I got was that you are experiencing some sadness.
Anxiety, fear.
Anxiety.
Fear, worry, and digestive issues.
I didn't get the last thing, but sadness, anxiety, and I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. Digestive issues.
Oh, digestive. Okay, got it. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
And plus the anxiety, the fears, the worries, you know.
Right. Okay.
Negative thinking.
Okay. 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 So what I want to do is that we're going to create a trilogy for you. Now, do you have an early memory that comes up when you think about these different feelings and beliefs you're having and experiencing with this condition? Is there an early memory that shows up that when you can recall feeling the same way about something in the past?
There are so many memories. I get confused when I try to do the quotes itself.
Okay, so I understand that you, again, it's breaking up, but I understand you have several memories. So
yes.
Yes, you just choose whichever one is the strongest at any time.
Okay.
All the other ones will be automatically addressed as well. When that memory that is the most prominent comes down in intensity to a 1 or below, then go ahead and look at the other memory, say, okay, is there another one that bothers me the most, and do that. So you want to
okay.
continue to heal all the earlier memories. I'm going to go ahead and test now for your trilogy. Could you say this for me? I
okay.
desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
Okay. Say, the fear issues.
The fear issues.
Okay. This is primarily going to most likely be in the peace category. If you want to do the relationship issue finder, that may give you some more clues as to what areas of your life have the most stress that's contributing to this. I would recommend using the trilogy for the next 12 days to address
okay.
The issues. Okay, so the first minute,
okay,
which is for the acupuncture and the meridian points.
Okay.
Okay. First, you're going to start with the eyebrows, and you're going to tap all the way to the side of the hand. So you're going to do all the points all over from the face, the body, the hand. Stop at the side of the hand.
Okay.
Okay, the next time through, you're going to start at the collarbone.
Okay.
Then the sore spots.
Okay.
Middle of the chest.
Okay.
Then we're going to go back up to the eyebrows.
Okay.
The side of the eyes.
Okay.
Under the eyes.
Okay.
Under the nose.
Okay.
And the chin.
Okay.
In
this order.
Yeah, and this is the order. Okay.
Okay.
Then you're going to do the 9G.
The 9G.
Where you're tapping. Yeah. You're tapping the gamut point, and your eyes are. Okay. Okay. The second minute for the healing code.
Okay.
Okay. First position, both hands on the brain stem.
Both hands on the brain stem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Second position, left hand bridge and right hand Adam's apple.
Left hand bridge, right hand Adam's apple. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The third position, left hand below the belly button. And the right hand on the high bridge, you're touching.
Belly button and right hand?
The left hand below the belly button, the right
okay.
hand touching the high bridge. Okay?
Okay.
And then
okay.
we have one more position. Both hands on the jaws.
Both hands.
Mm-hmm. On the jaws.
Okay.
Okay, for the third minute.
Okay.
This is for the governing conception and chakra.
Right.
Okay, we're going to start at the base, and you're going to slide your hands from the base all the way up and over to the top of the spine. And let's do that three times.
Three times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then... while you're doing that, you want to visualize that those rivers being filled with light and love and this positive energy.
Okay.
And all of the chakras being opened and in harmony. Okay, and then you're going to customize it. You're going to start at the heart.
Okay.
Slide down to the solar plexus.
Okay.
Slide back up to the heart. And when I and you want to pause at the heart then for about, 4 or 5 seconds.
Okay.
And then you're going to slide up to the throat.
Slide up to the throat. Okay.
Mhm. And then slide up to the forehead.
Okay.
And then slide all the way up to the crown.
Slide to
pause
the
crown. Yeah, and then you're going to pause.
Okay.
Then all the way over to the top of the spine.
Over to the spine. Okay.
And that's it.
That's it. So this side too, this is a customized solution.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you were saying, but you will do that. You would do this once or twice a day, this whole
okay.
customized trilogy. I would also address one category per day. So if you do the relationship issue finder, you're going to get
uh-huh.
scored on all the categories. You can start from the top, which is unforgiveness, and work
uh-huh.
on unforgiveness one day, and then the next day, harmful actions, the next day, unhealthy beliefs, the next day love. You can do it in that sequence, or
okay.
you can look at your lowest scores and address the lower scores first. But within the next 2 weeks, I would address all 12 categories. That way you won't leave out anything. You'll be addressing any memory, any program that has this same kind of a sadness, anxiety, and fear.
Okay, so you need to do regular wrong with this?
No, you can you can just use Trelegy. You do not used to do you don't need to do additional healing codes if you'd like.
Okay.
It's absolutely fine to do a healing code after a Trelegy.
Okay.
But this includes a custom code, so I would go ahead and just use this.
Do this once daily?
At least twice daily.
Mm-hmm. Twice daily. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
God bless
God
you.
Bless.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our next caller is from Florida, and your number is 9037. Your line is open.
Hi, Josina. This is April.
Hello, April. What would you like to address?
Yes, can I get a code for someone else?
Sure, sure. And what is this person's name?
Should I say their name or, I mean, they might be on the call. They probably won't be on the call ever, but.
Oh, well, you don't have to, yeah, you don't have to.
Could,
you don't
I
have
just
to say
another
name.
Person. Yeah, okay, that'll
yeah.
work.
Okay.
Right.
Is it a boy or a girl? A boy, a girl?
It's a man.
Okay. Okay.
And
what is a negative feeling, or what do you personally know about it? You don't
right,
have to give me details. Just what is the main negative feeling or belief?
Right. I want to address a rejection and abandonment issue, and I have reason to believe there's something from early childhood. And then after listening to today's call, I think there's some forgiveness wrapped up in there somehow, or
right.
unforgiveness.
Okay. Okay, so let's get a, we're going to get a custom code, or are we going to get a Trelegy?
Trelegy, please.
Okay. Okay, can you say for me, I am testing for this man.
I am testing for this man.
Okay, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The primary issues.
The primary issues.
Okay, very good. Okay, first minute. You're going to tap on all the points from the eyebrows all the way to the side of the hand. And then you're going to go to the chest, the middle of the chest, under the arms, under the nipples. Then you're going to go to the hand. You're going to go to the thumb,
sorry,
the index
thumb,
finger,
mm-hmm. thumb, index finger,
middle finger, mm-hmm. and little finger.
Little finger.
Then we're going to go back up to the face, and you're going to go to the side of the eyes, under the nose, and the chin.
Chin. Okay.
And then do the 9G.
9G.
Okay, minute number 2 with the healing code. It's going to be the first position is both hands on the bridge. Second position is left hand temple, right hand jaw.
Okay.
Next position is both hands on the brainstem.
Okay.
The next position is both hands on the high bridge. And that's it.
Okay.
Okay, minute number 3. We're going to start at the base. And go all the way up and over.
Okay.
Then you're going to start at the heart and go up and over.
Okay.
Then we're going back to the base again. And slowly pausing at each energy center for 4 or 5 seconds. Go up and over.
Each energy center.
And that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. God bless you.
Y'all too. Have a great one.
Uh-huh. All right. So that's just perfect for today, and we're going to go ahead and sign off. I want to thank you all for being here, and do come back next week and hear Alex's story of how he happened to break 2 ribs. Okay. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.